Hello and welcome to EY's Fresh Perspectives podcast series. I'm Verity Pope and I'm part of the employer brand team at EY. I'm going to be your host throughout this series of episodes as we dive into our people's experiences working across our EY business areas. At EY, we're always innovating, moving with the changing times and striving to build a better working world. But how do we do that? Well, by bringing in new ideas, brand new talent and of course, fresh perspectives to our business. The world of work has changed so much over the last 18 months, and what we deliver to our clients has too. So this podcast series focuses on some of our key business areas and what they've been delivering recently. We're speaking directly with our people at the heart of their business, and we discuss things like the new model of hybrid working, what they do in their line of work to make an impact to our people, clients and society, and also about our continued culture of belonging at EY. We hope each episode leaves you wanting to find out more about our opportunities, and inspired to build your career at EY.
Hi everyone, and welcome to our Fresh Perspectives podcast episode. This week we're talking all about resourcing at EY, and we're speaking with Ewan Scott, Gemma Kent, and Johan Dessenike. So Ewan, can I have some introductions from you, please?
Hi everyone, it's Ewan Scott. I'm the UKI Resourcing Centre of Excellence leader and Acting Director of Resourcing. I've been here at EY for getting on for 17 years now, so from the majority of my career, and a good proportion of that has been spent within various functions within the resourcing practice. Johan, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, so I'm Johan Dessenike. I've been with EY for just over 2.5 years. I'm a resource deployment manager within the insurance service line. More specifically within London Audit, the manager for a group which specialises in the real estate, hospitality and construction sector. Gemma?
Hi, so I'm Gemma Kent. I'm a resource deployment manager for UKI Consulting. More specifically, I look after business design and experience design currently. I've been with EY for 2 years. About a month over my 2 year anniversary.
Amazing. I think let's start with talking a bit about what resourcing at EY is and what you do, and then we can dive into what we deliver to our people, clients, and society. But Ewan, if you could just tell us a bit about what resourcing is at EY, that would be amazing.
It's probably easier to start with what resourcing isn't, to be perfectly honest. It's a very kind of diverse and varied role. But really at the heart of what we do at resourcing is ensuring that we're matching the right people to the right engagements at the right time so that we can A, deliver quality to our clients in terms of the projects that we're staffing, but also matching the experiences and aspirations of our people and what they want from their career at EY to ensure that everyone is realising their potential at EY. So a critical part of the EY organisation, I would say, really at the heart of what we do as a business. And it's managing those challenges of really trying to set up commercially focused engagements that are going to A, deliver value for our clients, but also deliver commercial value for our business. And balancing that with the experience aspirations of our people. So it's a challenging role, it's a complex role in that sense, but also a kind of highly rewarding role is what I hear from lots of the team on a day-to-day basis. So maybe we can kind of pass over to Johan or Gemma to kind of bring some of that to life a little bit more.
Yeah, I think kind of going to your comment about what resourcing isn't, I find whenever you try and tell someone outside of EY what resourcing is, they think you're recruitment, they think you're HR. It's quite specific to the consulting industry, I've found, and not many people understand what it is. But like Ewan says, it's finding that balance between what the business needs and the individual's experience, which, you know, especially where when we're particularly busy, it's quite a difficult thing to balance. But the most rewarding thing is when you do managed to stand up a team that almost feels impossible to find for a piece of key work that's just been sold, and the team that are on it are really happy to be there and really engaged and motivated to meet all of those deliverables.
I think, again, leading on from the point that Ewan mentioned, I think when I try and describe it to sort of friends and family, sometimes it feel like I don't, but I do feel like drawing like a Venn diagram, because it seems to overlap with so many different parts of the business. And because, you know, we are talking about people's sort of aspirations, experiences, we're also talking about how well utilized people are and how effective engagement is, we tend to overlap and have conversations that often aren't necessarily within our core sort of sphere. You know, it might link into a little bit of HR or a little bit into the engagement metric side of it. So it's a role I find that does bleed into a number of other areas within the business, which I think it makes it more enjoyable, more challenging, but certainly makes you feel more you can add value to the business in a number of different ways.
Your dinner party sound enthralling, rolling out Venn diagrams, Johan.
I love a good Venn diagram. I
think as well, as we're, as far as kind of the various operations teams go, we're the most visible to the business. So we do tend to be very integrated with them, to the point where we actually end up being the point of contact for all things operations. So we do end up having to be very integrated to other operations teams and understand their processes and what engagement managers need to do to connect with them as well.
And this podcast is called Fresh Perspectives, so I'm always thinking about kind of new ways of thinking and new ways of doing things. Gemma, you came from the world of recruitment. How has that kind of transitioned for you now that you're in resourcing? What's that been like? What's the differences?
To be honest, it took all the nice things about recruitment and took away all the stressful, horrible things that I didn't like. I shouldn't say horrible things, but some of the aspects that I didn't enjoy about recruitment was it was very sales driven. It was less about kind of matching the right people to the right role and helping people find the right job, and more just about you've got a role, you've got a target, and you need to make sure that you're filling as many roles as possible. And essentially, it's quite a one-man band type role, because you're not really working towards a wider team achievement. So when I left recruitment, it was with the view to go into something more operational, to work with a wider team all working towards the same objective. Whilst also in resourcing, you get to keep that element of getting to know new people, understanding new roles and projects. So I've learned a lot from all the people that we look after and resource into projects. Every day we're speaking to new engagement managers who essentially become the equivalent of recruitment's hiring managers, new resources, which comes recruitment's equivalent of candidates. But just removing that sales target and it being more about, you know, as a business, you're all working towards the same thing, all trying to fill these roles and cover this work. And it doesn't matter whether it comes from your team or another team, as long as the engagement gets what they need.
Amazing. And Ewan, I guess from your perspective as a leader and kind of head of UK&I resourcing, what is your team like, and what's the ambition for resourcing now, next and beyond?
First of all, we've got a great team, really diverse team, made up of people that have come from lots of different backgrounds. It'll be interesting to hear kind of Johan's transition experience as a follow-on to that as well. But I mean, from a broader kind of strategy perspective, our vision is all about becoming a market-leading resourcing function that is really focusing on how we deliver that human experience through connected partnering, and how we also use innovation to enhance our specialist services, really focusing in on optimizing productivity, but increasingly more importantly around how we are supporting all of our people and ensuring they're gaining access to exceptional experiences. regardless of individuals' gender, background, etc., etc. So this is all about equitable access to high value experiences that EY has to offer as a firm. So we have, I would say, it is an exciting time. We have a really inspiring global and regional vision, and I don't think as a resourcing function we've ever been in a position like we have at the moment, of really having that clear and really well aligned resourcing strategy and vision that really complements everything that the wider business is looking to achieve through its purposeful growth, with really focused in also on how we deliver value through our ambition and our purpose. When we talk about value, that's to our clients, or to our people, and kind of broader societal value. And we're investing in the function as well. We're investing in the function from a technology perspective. We're investing from a capability point of view. All really with a far greater focus, and I'm going to keep referring to it, around exceptional and equitable access to experiences for all of our people. So we've got a great team. I would say we're probably already kind of market leading, but we want to kind of solidify that and continue to drive forward with our ambition. And it's, yes, exciting time. The vision is inspiring at a global level, and I think we've got real strong connectivity in terms of our roles and our purpose and how our roles at EY in resourcing really complement and drive towards the same ambitions that the broader firm has.
And Johan, I don't know if you had anything to kind of add from that, from your previous experiences and now what kind of your team is like.
Yeah, I've come from a completely different background altogether. Prior to my time at EY, I was in the army for 11 and a half years as an officer. My background was logistics, so completely different. Initially, it was quite daunting, but I think at the heart of it, there was a number of transferable skills that I was able to bring across. But as an organisation, actually, it's a company that looks after its people, and that's one thing I really have enjoyed. They support its people; they're very inclusive and diverse. And resourcing is also something that is quite at the heart of that, and plays a key role as we are obviously putting together and helping staff, high performing teams. We are ensuring, we're ideally placed, if you like, to ensure that, people are getting the best experiences, people are getting, are placed on engagements that are going to help, develop their career. And it's not just always about putting someone on a job just because they've got that capacity, that analogy of a round peg in a round hole sort of thing. It's a bit more to that. And that was one of the crossovers, like I said, from my previous role that I really liked, because it was very similar in the military as well. You always look after your people.
And Gemma, Ewan touched on the fact that, you were saying it's obviously an exciting time to join. Why is it an exciting time for you at EY? What is it you really enjoy about the role?
Within EY, we're extremely busy, and we are also kind of entering a slightly new way of working, going back into a kind of hybrid model of going into the office and working from home as well. And I think it almost just evens the playing field a little bit, because everyone's getting used to a new way of working. So it's a really good time to join, so that you're not kind of left out of that experience of almost finding your way around and figuring out what works in terms of what days you go into the office, what days you stay at home. But also just because we're constantly innovating and coming up with new ways to solve problems. So if you're someone that likes a challenge and likes to come up with new ideas and just looking into ways that how the business works and how you can improve that, this is a great time to do that, because we are, I guess, extremely busy and having to come up with those new ideas on a regular basis. I could certainly say that it's never boring.
Amazing. And what about, so you've actually tied in really nicely with what I want to talk about next, which is hybrid working. So for you, Ewan, how has your team been using hybrid working? How has the work changed recently with what you've had to do within resourcing? and what is, you know, how has hybrid working impacted the way you do things?
Yes, it's a really interesting topic, isn't it? And I think I don't think we have all the answers yet. I think we're still kind of finding our way through that. I think if we look back to kind of pre-pandemic, resourcing was probably a function that would probably be more present in the office than maybe some other typical roles because of that connectivity into engagements and people and being on the ground, resourcing, get that sense of what's going on in the business and what problems are there to be solved. And that kind of relationship building has always been traditionally thought to be best done in person. What I have to say, and hats off to the team in terms of how they've adapted through what has been an incredibly tricky kind of period over the last kind of 18 months to 2 years, because the ways of working have significantly kind of transformed in that respect. But it just demonstrates the adaptability and the resilience of the team to just think on their feet around how they can do things differently. I think ultimately it feels like we've always had a strong flexible working culture at EY. And we have always allowed people that flexibility to manage their kind of work and their life and ensure that they can put boundaries around work and have that flexibility that they need to manage their personal commitments as well. So from that respect, it's not a significant change. It's probably the proportion of which people have worked from home versus being in the office and what we think we will be going into the office for in the future. And that will be more around collaboration and connecting with people. So I can definitely see that people will spend more time at home if they're doing some of the kind of more individual based work. But it'll be great to hear from the team and Johan and Gemma in terms of how they find it. But I think Gemma referenced something around how it's kind of leveled the kind of playing field around expectations as well, which I think is helpful, and I think everyone has valued that. And it just has given us that opportunity to really challenge ourselves on how flexible we can really be. We've always been flexible, but how flexible can we really be to give people that kind of freedom? But I also do see like huge importance and value in that human connection and remaining connected to teams. So generally what we're seeing in terms of return to the office, as the project is that we're calling it, is that our resourcing teams are probably going into the office a couple of days a week to connect with their teams, connect with their resourcing teams, but also connect with their client-facing teams. And I suppose we're just going to continue to evolve and mature that in the way that we do that effectively over time. Technology has obviously played a key enabler to us being able to adapt in this environment with kind of core productivity solutions like Teams, but also, as I mentioned earlier, we're also investing in the specific technology capability for resourcing that is going to enable us to be that little bit more kind of agile in the future around not being so dependent on the networks and having the tools and the capabilities from a solutions perspective that empower and enable resourcing more effectively, which I think will be really important as well.
I think the shift that has taken place between kind of how much you work from home and how much you work from the office has also removed some barriers for people that may have had maybe less face time than others who are either offshore or just maybe live a little bit further out of London and it's not convenient for them to come in quite as often. So it's also created a much better virtual working environment as well, whereby you don't necessarily have to have that FaceTime to be able to work well with the team. So we've actually got a couple of people in the UKI consulting resourcing team who are based offshore. They've never actually seen the EY office in their local region yet either. But they've integrated themselves well into the team. The guys in the UKI business know who they are, know who they need to speak to. And I think that kind of slightly more virtual focused environment has enabled us to do that. And I think also for people that perhaps don't want to live in London anymore. We've seen a couple of people relocate outside of London during the pandemic, and they've still been able to make it work.
Absolutely. I think we've joked in my team that we've had a couple of people join the team and we're so, so close, but I actually don't know how tall they are because I've never met them in person. And it's just things like that that we've kind of become accustomed to, but you still work through ways of like collaborating and stuff. So that's really important. I did want to touch a bit about, I think you mentioned it earlier, Ewan, about adaptability and some of the strengths and skills. But I did want to touch on some of the key skills and strengths that you think helps you have that career in resourcing and a successful career in resourcing. So could we talk a bit about the skills side of things?
It's about being solution orientated. I think Gemma touched on that earlier, and that's obviously what a lot of people get a lot of satisfaction out of. It's that ability to be able to have really robust stakeholder relationships. And that's about being able to have stakeholder relationships when you're not always going to be able to give the exact solution that an individual senior stakeholder in the business might be desiring. So it's about being able to have that level of credibility within a very senior stakeholder environment as well. So in resourcing, you will get access to senior leadership. You'll essentially be part of their kind of competency leadership teams more often than not. And it's about having impact and influence in those environments above, being able to influence upwards as well as with your broader team. So definitely credibility and influence. There's about being solution orientated. It's about being able to build strong rapport with your client-facing teams as well, and being a point of contact for them. It's about being empathetic to our client handlers as with them as well, in terms of it's not always a perfect solution we can provide them in terms of the aspirations and the kind of roles that they're looking to get, but making sure that we're doing our best to kind of give them the experiences that they're seeking, and working collaboratively with them in that respect as well. There is an element of data analysis that's often required, just in terms of understanding trends and themes on what's impacting a number of different metrics that we would look at in terms of productivity, for example. So I said it's quite broad, I would say, in terms of skill sets, but I'll let Johan or Gemma comment a bit further in terms of maybe sharing some of the experiences that they've gained in terms of the skills that they've developed and evolved having come into the resourcing team from their kind of differing backgrounds as well.
I think you've highlighted pretty much nearly all of them there, Ewan. But I think one that you didn't mention that I feel is quite key is just inquisitive nature. So what I mean by that is, you know, when you're engaging with your stakeholders, trying to understand what their resourcing problems is, you know, so, you know, applying that inquisitive mindset to understand, you know, what it is that the issues they're facing. There's, you know, rarely a straightforward black and white solution. There's always, you know, you're going to have to think outside the box a little bit. So you need to just understand through asking or actively listening and asking, you know, the right sort of questions to understand what their needs are. But you can also apply that inquisitive mindset to the data. And as Ewan just mentioned there, we do use data quite a bit to report on and then you know, advise and influence our stakeholders. And it's looking at data, trying to just understand, you know, why is there a trend forming there, or so what if this utilization is not quite what it should be. So I think for me personally, communication and having an inquisitive nature are the two sort of main ones for me.
Yeah, I mean, definitely second the inquisitive nature. It's the only way that you learn and can actually come up with successful solutions. The only other things I would add is, you know, just a bit of patience. You're not going to be able to solve everything straight away. The answers to questions that you need aren't always going to come straight away, and you do almost need to be able to apply a bit of patience and just kind of remove yourself a little bit to wait for that information that you need to come through. The other thing I'd say is kind of linking to being able to manage expectations. So you do need to be almost quite bold to be able to push back and say, look, this is what we have to work with. These are our options here. So you're presenting them with the solutions that you're able to offer, which, you know, you have to empathize isn't always going to be the solution that the engagement manager is looking for, but you do almost need to kind of make sure that you're bold enough to manage expectations.
I think in summary, what we've described there is about becoming a trusted advisor to senior stakeholders within the business. It's about being able to build strong relationships. It's about being able to bring insight. I think that's a good way of describing it. It's really that kind of trusted advisor that operates in a kind of very collaborative way with varying stakeholders across the business at different levels within the business as well.
Great. And then I think the last thing I wanted to touch on today is I know that the world has kind of reopened now. That must mean a lot of new engagements, a lot of having to put people into new engagements. You must be very busy. But what I wanted to know is, what is next for your team? How is it growing over the next 12 months? And yeah, what is kind of the next, what's up next for resourcing?
Yeah, I suppose I kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but our purposeful growth strategy is the UKI's strategy. And this is looking at the kind of intrinsic relationship between growth kind of and purpose, with the aspiration of growing our business quite substantially over the next kind of 3 to 5 years. As you can imagine, with growth comes kind of additional work for resourcing. So typically resourcing is kind of structured in a way that we align with the business. We are integrated with the business, and therefore we need to be able to scale with the business. So that's something we're actively looking at the moment, in terms of how do we scale our function effectively alongside with the growth of the business. And we're going to do that in two fundamental ways. It's going to be investment in technology that's going to help us optimize the way that we deliver our services and actually empower resourcing to be able to continue to kind of evolve our resourcing function and the way that we deliver our services in that way. But we're also investing in people and capability. And ultimately, the conversations that we're having with our senior leadership at the moment is resourcing is going to be fundamental and pivotal to our growth strategy through the way that we ensure that equitable access to exceptional experiences. And resourcing is right at the coalface in that kind of role that we play. So, yeah. Big focus, investment, technology for enablement, and then investment in more people to ensure that we can grow with the business as a critical component of our firm-wide strategy.
Great. Anything to add, Johan and Gemma, from your perspectives?
I don't know if maybe it's just worth mentioning that the resourcing team do work very closely with our Centre of Excellence team on the innovation side, so that they can understand what our role is, where we might need new tools, new data. And we do get the opportunity to work very closely with them on that innovation piece. Like Ewan said, you know, that helps us both on the enablement side, but we do also get quite a bit in terms of sort of new data that we can access, new reports that we can pull to feed, I guess, better insights to our leadership team as well.
Okay, yeah, that's great. Thank you. So thank you so much, all three of you, for chatting with me today. It's been really insightful learning all about resourcing, how you've used hybrid working, how you guys have been engaging and putting people onto engagement. So thank you so much for chatting with me today.